Good afternoon, podcast listeners. This is Monday's episode of Tamar, daughter-in-law of Judah. Her name means date tree or palm tree. Let's read about her character. Okay, let's get her started. Driven by one overwhelming need, she sacrificed her reputation and nearly her life to achieve her goals. Her sorrow? That the men in her life failed to fulfill their responsibility, leaving her a childless widow. Her joy? That her darling behavior resulted not in ruin, but in the fulfillment of her hopes to bear children. The scriptures will be based on Genesis 38 and Matthew chapter 1, verse 3. Here's her story. Genealogy hardly makes compelling reading at bedtime, or at any other time, for that matter. Perhaps you welcome them with a yawn or skip over them entirely as you read through the Bible. But even long lists of bewildering names can reveal interesting insight into God's mysterious plan. That's the way the scripture works, yielding hidden riches on every page. Take the genealogy in the first chapter of Matthew, for instance. It lists a grand total of 41 male ancestors of Jesus, beginning with Abraham, and a mere 5 female ancestors, 3 of whose stories, those of Tamar, Rahab, and Bathsheba, are colored by such distasteful details as incest, prostitution, fornication, adultery, and murder. Jesus, the perfect son of the perfect father, had plenty of imperfect branches in his family tree, and even colorful characters to populate a modern romance novel. That women should be mentioned at all in his genealogy is surprising, let alone that 4 of the 5 got pregnant out of wedlock. In addition, at least 3 of the women were foreigners, not Israelites. Tamar fell into both categories. Her father-in-law, Judah, son of Jacob and Leah, had arranged for her to marry his firstborn, half Canaanite and half Hebrew. Was a wicked man whom God killed for his sins. That's all we know of him. After came Onan, Judah's second son, as was the custom of the time. Judah gave Onan to the widower Tamar, instructing him to sleep with her so that she could have children to carry on Ur's line. But Onan was far too crafty for his own good. He slept with Tamar, but then spilled his semen on the ground, thus ensuring Tamar's barrenness. That's why he would not be saddled with the responsibility for children who would carry on his brother's line rather than his own. But God took note, and Onan too died for his wickedness. Already Judah had lost 2 sons to Tamar. Should he risk a third? Shelah was his only remaining son. Let me say it like this. Selah, not yet fully grown, to placet his daughter-in-law Judah, instructing Tamar to return to his father's house and live as a widow until Selah was the marriageable age. But time passed like a sluggish river, And Tamar continued to wear her widow's garments as Selah grew up. After Judah's wife died, he set out one day for Timnah to shear his sheep. Hearing the news of her father-in-law's journey, Tamar decided to take desperate and dramatic actions. If Judah would not give her his youngest son in marriage, she would do her best to propagate the family's name in her own way. Shedding her widow's black, she disguised herself in a veil, impersonating a prostitute, and sat down beside the road to Timnah, and Judah slept with her and gave her his personal seal and cord along with his staff to pledge a future payment. About 3 months later, Judah learned that Tamar was pregnant, little realizing he was responsible for her condition. Overraged that she had prostituted herself, he ordered her burned to death. But before the sentence could be carried out, Tamar sent him a stunning message. "I am pregnant by the man who owns these. See if you recognize whose seal and cord and staff these are." The man who had so quickly passed judgment, little heeding his own secret thrice with a prostitute, was suddenly taken up short. To his credit, he told the truth, saying, "She is more righteous than I, since I wouldn't give her to my son." 6 months later, Tamar gave birth to twins. Once again, with Jacob and Esau, the children struggled in her womb. A tiny hand came out and then disappeared, but not before being tied with a scarlet thread by the midwife. Then a small, slippery body emerged, but with no trace of the red thread. They named the first boy Perez, meaning breaking out. Then the little one with the scarlet ribbon was born, and they named him Zephrah, meaning scarlet. Perez was recognized as the firstborn from his line would come King David, and finally, hundreds of years later, Jesus of Nazareth. Judah had shown little concern regarding the continuance of his line. Instead, God used a woman shamed by her own barrenness and determined to overcome it to ensure that the tribe of Judah would not only survive, but that it should one day bear the world's Messiah. Amazing story, isn't it? I'll tell you what, these women of the Bible grow to be more and more interesting each week as we continue to read more of their story and just learn the more of them. Tamar, how interesting that she was pregnant or was able to get pregnant because she prostituted herself. And out of that, she had her two children, her twins that she had. I'll tell you, it's amazing on how things have happened in the lineage of Jesus Christ when we really study all the things that have happened with the women and the men, what they've gone through and so forth. But isn't it something that out of this very lineage that began, which began with Tamar, right? That was something that was done out of prostitution. She prostituted herself, right? And she tricked, she deceived. Now, is it just me? Or does anybody see the line of that spirit of deception, deceitfulness. I mean, it started with Rebecca and Jacob. Like, Rebecca allowed for Jacob to deceive his father Esau, and, you know, to steal that birthright. And then from that, Jacob got deceived by Leah, and Leah's son, Judah, was the one who got deceived by his daughter-in-law, Tamar. It's interesting how spirits attach themselves to the lineage of our family history. That's why we hear oftentimes that generational curses, and how we have to break off those generational curses, because things such as this happen. Okay. All right. So here we have Tamar, interesting enough. And so here she is. And this is the thing that I was focused on, that out of that, it said ultimately that Jesus, the Messiah, came out of that. So out of something that what we look at and frown and sometimes want to pass judgment against people. You know, not everybody makes the right decisions in their lives. And sometimes people do things that, you know, are not morally right. They're not right before God. But when you submit yourself to the Lord, when you say that you're sorry, you know, God's mercy redeems us, and he makes something good out of it. And, you know, time went on and all this stuff that was going on. But out of all of that, something great came out of all this turmoil. We're going to be reading about the different women that line up to the birth of Jesus. But I think that is just amazing on how we are always so quick to pass judgment against women who prostitute, sell themselves, do things, or even prostitute to survive. How many of us know women who strip and dance? Maybe they don't prostitute, but maybe they do that whole dancing around a pole to survive because it's the only thing that they know how to do. You know, Jesus still loves them, may not love their sin, but definitely loves them. Amen. And we can't pass judgment against them, but only love them, because ultimately God sees redemption for them, because he is their redemption. Amen. Well, this Monday study, I won't take too much time. And I'm just going to close us out in prayer, and then I'm going to come back with Tuesday's episode. Okay. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God Almighty, for your word. And we seek, Lord, what you're going to teach us in the story of Tamar. Father, let our hearts be open and receptive to the message that you have for us, Lord. Let our ears be in tune with your message, Lord. And may your message be written in the tablets of our heart, so that we are prepared, Lord, to either be receptive for healing within ourselves, or to bring forth healing towards someone that may be in a situation like Tamar. So we just thank you, Lord, for what you are preparing in this week, in the study that you have of Tamar. And so we just bless your holy name, and we thank you for your word, and we thank you for it becoming alive within our hearts and in our minds, Lord, and blessing us in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. All right, guys. God bless you. Remember that this is the day the Lord has made. So rejoice and be glad in it. Bye-bye now.